Science and Health, Chapter 14. Recapitulation. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. Isaiah. This chapter is from the first edition of the author's class book, copyrighted in 1870. After much labor and increased spiritual understanding, she revised that treatise for this volume in 1875. Absolute Christian Science pervades its statements to elucidate scientific metaphysics. Questions and answers. Question. What is God? Answer. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Question. Are these terms synonymous? Answer. They are. They refer to one absolute God. They are also intended to express the nature, essence, and wholeness of deity. The attributes of God are justice, mercy, wisdom, goodness, and so on. Question. Is there more than one God or principle? Answer. There is not. Principle and its idea is one, and this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent being, and his reflection is man and the universe. Omni is adopted from the Latin adjective signifying all. Hence, God combines all power or potency, all science or true knowledge, all presence. The varied manifestations of Christian Science indicate mind, never matter, and have one principle. Question. What are spirits and souls? Answer. To human belief, they are personalities constituted of mind and matter, life and death, truth and error, good and evil. But these contrasting pairs of terms represent contraries, as Christian Science reveals, which neither dwell together nor assimilate. Truth is immortal. Error is mortal. Truth is limitless. Error is limited. Truth is intelligent. Error is non-intelligent. Moreover, truth is real and error is unreal. This last statement contains the point you will most reluctantly admit, although first and last it is the most important to understand. The term souls or spirits is as improper as the term gods. Soul or spirit signifies deity and nothing else. There is no finite soul nor spirit. Soul or spirit means only one mind and cannot be rendered in the plural. Heathen mythology and Jewish theology have perpetrated the fallacy that intelligence, soul, and life can be in matter, and idolatry and ritualism are the outcome of all man-made beliefs. The science of Christianity comes with fan in hand to separate the chaff from the wheat. Science will declare God a right, and Christianity will demonstrate this declaration and its divine principle, making mankind better physically, morally, and spiritually. Question. What are the demands of the science of soul? Answer. The first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit. Therefore, the command means this. Thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Science reveals spirit, soul, as not in the body, and God as not in man, but as reflected by man. The greater cannot be in the lesser. The belief that the greater can be in the lesser is an error that works ill. This is a leading point in the science of soul, that principle is not in its idea. Spirit, soul, is not confined in man and is never in matter. We reason imperfectly from effect to cause when we conclude that matter is the effect of spirit. But a priori reasoning shows material existence to be enigmatical. Spirit gives the true mental idea. We cannot interpret spirit, mind, through matter. Matter neither sees, hears, nor feels. Reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, we begin with mind, which must be understood through the idea which expresses it, and cannot be learned from its opposite, matter. Thus we arrive at truth, or intelligence, which evolves its own unerring idea and never can be coordinate with human illusions. If soul sinned, it would be mortal, for sin is mortality's self, because it kills itself. If truth is immortal, error must be mortal, because error is unlike truth. Because soul is immortal, soul cannot sin, for sin is not the eternal verity of being. Question. What is the scientific statement of being? Answer. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Question. What is substance? Answer. Substance is that which is eternal and incapable of discord and decay. Truth, life, and love are substance. As the scriptures use this word in Hebrews, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Spirit, the synonym of mind, soul, or God, is the only real substance. The spiritual universe, including individual man, is a compound idea reflecting the divine substance of spirit. Question: what is life? Answer: life is divine principle, mind, soul, spirit. Life is without beginning and without end. Eternity, not time, expresses the thought of life, and time is no part of eternity. One ceases in proportion as the other is recognized. Time is finite. Eternity is forever infinite. Life is neither in nor of matter. What is termed matter is unknown to spirit, which includes in itself all substance and is life eternal. Matter is a human concept. Life is divine mind. Life is not limited. Death and finiteness are unknown to life. If life ever had a beginning, it would also have an ending. Question: what is intelligence? Answer: intelligence is omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. It is the primal and eternal quality of infinite mind, of the triune principle, life, truth, and love, named God. Question: what is mind? Answer: mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God, good, is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error, without intelligence or reality. There can be but one mind, because there is but one God. And if mortals claimed no other mind and accepted no other, sin would be unknown. We can have but one mind if that one is infinite. We bury the sense of infinitude when we admit that although God is infinite, evil has a place in this infinity, for evil can have no place where all space is filled with God. We lose the high signification of omnipotence when, after admitting that God or good is omnipresent and has all power, we still believe there is another power named evil. This belief that there is more than one mind is as pernicious to divine theology as our ancient mythology and pagan idolatry. With one Father, even God, the whole family of man would be brethren. And with one mind and that God or good, the brotherhood of man would consist of love and truth, and have unity of principle and spiritual power, which constitute divine science. The supposed existence of more than one mind was the basic error of idolatry. This error assumed the loss of spiritual power, the loss of the spiritual presence of life as infinite truth without an unlikeness, and the loss of love as ever-present and universal. Divine science explains the abstract statement that there is one mind by the following self-evident proposition. If God or good is real, then evil, the unlikeness of God, is unreal. And evil can only seem to be real by giving reality to the unreal. The children of God have but one mind. How can good lapse into evil when God, the mind of man, never sins? The standard of perfection was originally God and man. Has God taken down his own standard, and has man fallen? God is the creator of man, and the divine principle of man remaining perfect, the divine idea or reflection man remains perfect. Man is the expression of God's being. If there ever was a moment when man did not express the divine perfection, then there was a moment when man did not express God, and consequently a time when deity was unexpressed, that is, without entity. If man has lost perfection, then he has lost his perfect principle, the divine mind. If man ever existed without this perfect principle or mind, then man's existence was a myth. The relations of God and man, divine principle and idea, are indestructible in science, and science knows no lapse from nor return to harmony, but holds the divine order or spiritual law, in which God and all that he creates are perfect and eternal, to have remained unchanged in its eternal history. The unlikeness of truth, named error, the opposite of science, and the evidence before the five corporeal senses afford no indication of the grand facts of being. Even as these so-called senses receive no intimation of the earth's motions or of the science of astronomy, but yield assent to astronomical propositions on the authority of natural science. The facts of divine science should be admitted, although the evidence as to these facts is not supported by evil, by matter, or by material sense, because the evidence that God and man coexist is fully sustained by spiritual sense. Man is, and forever has been, God's reflection. God is infinite, therefore ever present, and there is no other power nor presence. Hence, the spirituality of the universe is the only fact of creation. Let God be true, but every material man a liar. Question. Are doctrines and creeds a benefit to man? Answer. The author subscribed to an orthodox creed in early youth and tried to adhere to it until she caught the first gleam of that which interprets God as above mortal sense. This view rebuked human beliefs and gave the spiritual import expressed through science of all that proceeds from the divine mind. Since then, her highest creed has been divine science, which, reduced to human apprehension, she has named Christian science. This science teaches man that God is the only life, and that this life is truth and love, that God is to be understood, adored, and demonstrated, that divine truth casts out suppositional error and heals the sick. The way which leads to Christian science is straight and narrow. God has set his signet upon science, making it coordinate with all that is real and only with that which is harmonious and eternal. sickness, sin, and death being inharmonious, do not originate in God nor belong to his government. His law, rightly understood, destroys them. Jesus furnished proofs of these statements. Question: what is error? Answer: error is a supposition that pleasure and pain, that intelligence, substance, life, are existent in matter. Error is neither mind nor one of mind's faculties. Error is the contradiction of truth. Error is a belief without understanding. Error is unreal because untrue. It is that which seemeth to be and is not. If error were true, its truth would be error, and we should have a self-evident absurdity, namely, erroneous truth. Thus we should continue to lose the standard of truth. Question: is there no sin? Answer: all reality is in God and his creation, harmonious and eternal. That which he creates is good, and he makes all that is made. Therefore, the only reality of sin, sickness, or death is the awful fact that unrealities seem real to human erring belief, until God strips off their disguise. They are not true because they are not of God. We learn in Christian Science that all inharmony of mortal mind or body is illusion, possessing neither reality nor identity, though seeming to be real and identical. The science of mind disposes of all evil. Truth, God, is not the father of error. Sin, sickness, and death are to be classified as effects of error. Christ came to destroy the belief of sin. The God principle is omnipresent and omnipotent. God is everywhere, and nothing apart from him is present or has power. Christ is the ideal truth that comes to heal sickness and sin through Christian Science and attributes all power to God. Jesus is the name of the man who, more than all other men, has presented Christ, the true idea of God, healing the sick and the sinning and destroying the power of death. Jesus is the human man, and Christ is the divine idea, hence the duality of Jesus the Christ. In an age of ecclesiastical despotism, Jesus introduced the teaching and practice of Christianity, affording the proof of Christianity's truth and love. But to reach his example and to test its unerring science according to his rule, healing, sickness, sin, and death, a better understanding of God as divine principle, love, rather than personality or the man Jesus, is required. Jesus established what he said by demonstration, thus making his acts of higher importance than his words. He proved what he taught. This is the science of Christianity. Jesus proved the principle which heals the sick and casts out error to be divine. Few, however, except his students, understood in the least his teachings and their glorious proofs, namely, that life, truth, and love, the principle of this unacknowledged science, destroy all error, evil, disease, and death. The reception accorded to truth in the early Christian era is repeated today. Whoever introduces the science of Christianity will be scoffed at and scourged with worse cords than those which cut the flesh. To the ignorant age in which it first appears, science seems to be a mistake. Hence the misinterpretation and consequent maltreatment which it receives. Christian marvels, and marvel is the simple meaning of the Greek word rendered miracle in the New Testament, will be misunderstood and misused by many until the glorious principle of these marvels is gained. If sin, sickness, and death are as real as life, truth, and love, then they must all be from the same source. God must be their author. Now, Jesus came to destroy sin, sickness, and death, yet the scriptures aver, "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Is it possible, then, to believe that the evils which Jesus lived to destroy are real, or the offspring of the divine will? Despite the hallowing influence of truth in the destruction of error, must error still be immortal? Truth spares all that is true. If evil is real, truth must make it so. But error, not truth, is the author of the unreal, and the unreal vanishes, while all that is real is eternal. The apostle says that the mission of Christ is to destroy the works of the devil. Truth destroys falsity and error, for light and darkness cannot dwell together. Light extinguishes the darkness, and the scripture declares that there is no night there. To truth there is no error, all is truth. To infinite spirit there is no matter, all is spirit, divine principle, and its idea. Question: What is man? Answer: Man is not matter. He is not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. The scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Matter is not that likeness. The likeness of spirit cannot be so unlike spirit. Man is spiritual and perfect, and because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be so understood in Christian Science. Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas, the generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness. The conscious identity of being as found in science, in which man is the reflection of God or mind, and therefore is eternal. That which has no separate mind from God, that which has not a single quality underived from deity, that which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his Maker. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. The real man cannot depart from holiness, nor can God, by whom man is evolved, engender the capacity or freedom to sin. A mortal sinner is not God's man. Mortals are the counterfeits of immortals. They are the children of the wicked one, or the one evil, which declares that man begins in dust or as a material embryo. In divine science, God and the real man are inseparable as divine principle and idea. Error, urged to its final limits, is self-destroyed. Error will cease to claim that soul is in body, that life and intelligence are in matter, and that this matter is man. God is the principle of man, and man is the idea of God. Hence, man is not mortal nor material. Mortals will disappear, and immortals, or the children of God, will appear as the only and eternal verities of man. Mortals are not fallen children of God. They never had a perfect state of being, which may subsequently be regained. They were, from the beginning of mortal history, conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. Mortality is finally swallowed up in immortality. Sin, sickness, and death must disappear to give place to the facts which belong to immortal man. Learn this, O mortal, and earnestly seek the spiritual status of man, which is outside of all material selfhood. Remember that the scriptures say of mortal man, "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That is, truth and love reign in the real man, showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus, Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul, being spirit, is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. Whatever is material is mortal. To the five corporeal senses, man appears to be matter and mind united. But Christian Science reveals man as the idea of God and declares the corporeal senses to be mortal and erring illusions. Divine Science shows it to be impossible that a material body, though interwoven with matter's highest stratum, misnamed mind, should be man, the genuine and perfect man, the immortal idea of being, indestructible and eternal. Were it otherwise, man would be annihilated. Question: what are body and soul? Answer: identity is the reflection of spirit, the reflection in multifarious forms of the living principle, love. Soul is the substance, life, and intelligence of man, which is individualized, but not in matter. Soul can never reflect anything inferior to spirit. Man is the expression of soul. The Indians caught some glimpses of the underlying reality when they called a certain beautiful lake the smile of the Great Spirit. Separated from man, who expresses soul, spirit would be a non-entity. Man, divorced from spirit, would lose his entity. But there can be no such division, for man is coexistent with God. What evidence of soul or of immortality have you within mortality? Even according to the teachings of natural science, man has never beheld spirit or soul leaving a body or entering it. What basis is there for the theory of indwelling spirit, except the claim of mortal belief? What would be thought of the declaration that a house was inhabited and by a certain class of persons, when no such persons were ever seen to go into the house or to come out of it, nor were they even visible through the windows? Who can see a soul in the body?